You know, let's go back and look at these six catastrophic events again, right? A great earthquake, the sun becoming black, the moon turning red, stars falling to earth, heavens roll back like a scroll, the shaking of the earth. All right. Now, let's look at one catastrophic request in verses 15 through 17. Let me read that again. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every slave and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. And they said unto the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of the sixth seal. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of the sixth.
Looking at the seals, we've been looking at the scroll that was opened by the Lamb. And we saw in Revelation 5 that they looked high and low for someone to be able to open this scroll. And there was no one found worthy. And John said that he wept much because no one was found worthy. But praise God, there was a Lamb that trotted up to the throne and took the scroll and opened the scroll and began to loose the seals thereof. Then we moved into Revelation 6, and we saw the first seal that was opened represented the Antichrist. The second seal that was opened represented bloodshed and war. The third seal that was open represented famine. The fourth seal that was open represented death. Last week, we looked at the fifth seal that was open, and that represented martyrdom. And we see that there were saints who were martyred during the tribulation. And we looked at some of the people over the history of the church that have been martyred, the disciples and some people that have come thereafter. And we come today to Revelation chapter 6 and verse 12, and I'm going to go ahead and share my screen as we get started today. And in Revelation 6, we look at this sixth seal, which is talking about some catastrophic events that will take place here on this earth. In verse 12 through 17, we read these words. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every slave and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said unto the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Sixth seal, catastrophic events. And as we look at the breakdown of this particular precope of scripture, we see 12 and 13, there are six catastrophic events. And then verses 15 through 17, there's one catastrophic request. Six catastrophic events and one catastrophic request. We begin by looking at a great earthquake. A great earthquake, the Greek word seismos, means a shaking. And here we see this is a sign of divine judgment, that earthquakes have been seen throughout the Bible. We can think of many times when there was earthquakes found in the scripture. And we see that they are a sign of divine judgment that when we see in the Bible. Now, I did send a attachment to you along with the notes. And we look at the question, why does God allow natural disasters such as earthquakes and hurricanes and tsunamis? Why does God allow these things? So let's look at this, because we see here in Revelation 6 that the earthquake is a sign of divine judgment. If you have that article that I sent, you might want to pull it out, and we'll just look at that for a second and then get back into Revelation chapter 6. Why does God, have you ever asked that question? Why does God allow earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes, tsunamis, typhoons, cyclones, mudslides, wildfires, and other natural disasters? These tragedies cause many people to question God's goodness. It is distressing when we see natural disasters, and people often call them acts of God. So while God is the creator of all the universe and all of nature, what are we to think about these things, these earthquakes? What are we to think about these natural disasters? Well, first of all, we want to say this, that most natural disasters result from the laws of nature at work, right? When you think about hurricanes and typhoons and tornadoes, how do those things come to pass? You know, maybe you are not a meteorologist. You haven't studied the science of weather and weather patterns, but these things happen because of the different weather patterns that collide. You know, I was interested to find out, you know, how do tornadoes take place? And, you know, tornadoes take place when there's a warm airflow that meets with a cool airflow. And it actually, when they come together, they start spinning. And that's what causes a tornado. And so we see that nature accounts for tornadoes. We see that even earthquakes, how do earthquakes happen? They happen because of a shift in the plates of the earth. And, you know, it causes a shaking and the earth to rumble. And then even a tsunami. How is a tsunami started? It started by underwater earthquake, right? And then it just comes up on the land and, you know, just like a flood, just wipes people out. So we see that there is the natural causes for these things. But when you look at the scripture, doesn't it say in Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, that God or even Jesus holds nature together by the power of his hand. We read that in Colossians 1, verses 16 and 17. Let's take a look at that. Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. And it says, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So we see here that Christ holds all things together. So now, saints, we ask the question. We ask this question: could God prevent natural disasters? You know, when we hear about, you know, thousands of people being killed or hundreds of people being killed, you know, could God prevent natural disasters? Well, absolutely. God does sometimes influence the weather. We see in several passages, Deuteronomy 11, James 5, and Numbers chapter 16, that God actually causes natural disasters as a judgment against sin. And then, as we see here in the book of Revelation, that many events or many natural disasters were caused by God. And so we have to ask the question then, is every natural disaster punishment by God? Is God punishing people when we look at every natural disaster? And so the question, the answer to that question is no, absolutely not. However, you know, we do see, and I'm going to talk about this here in a second, that God does use, as we're going to see here in Revelation 6, we're going to see here that he does use natural disasters as a sign of judgment. We see that what a lot of times what's happening is these things take place as a result of the curse that's on the earth, the curse that's on the earth. In Romans chapter 8, we read these words, Romans chapter 8 and verse 19. Romans 8:19. He says, for this is the earnest expectation of creation, and it waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subject the same hope. Because creation itself is also waiting to be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So look what he says here. He says that creation is waiting to be delivered from bondage. Well, what is the bondage? The bondage is that creation is under a curse. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together. So creation, the wind, the sun, the moon, the elements, or some of you who were people of the 70s, right? The earth, wind, and fire, right? You know, these are groaning. And when it groans, what it means is that it's dealing with all these disasters, that these things naturally come about. So as we look at natural disasters, we see, first of all, that they come as a result of creation groaning. You know, winds, warm wind and cool wind coming together, causing the tornadoes, the plates of the earth shifting, causing earthquakes, underwater earthquakes, causing tsunamis. You know what that is, saints? Wow. You know what that is? That is creation groaning. every time you see a natural disaster, just think about it. Just think about that in your mind, that is a result of creation that's groaning. And that should be a reminder to us that we live under a fallen creation, and that we suffer the results of a fallen creation. However, we do see in the scripture that God works through this fallen creation, that God uses this fallen creation to bring judgment upon people and to bring judgment upon the earth. You know, I think of, let me read Numbers chapter 16. And we see here is a case where God used an earthquake to bring judgment on people. And that is Numbers chapter 16, verses 30 through 34. Numbers 16, verses 30 through 34. And, you know, we see here, it says, but if the Lord make a new thing and the earth open up her mouth and swallow them up. So he's talking about judgment coming upon a group of people with all that appertains unto them, and they go down alive into the ground, Sheol, then you shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. They have provoked the Lord. And the Lord opened its mouth and swallowed them up and their houses and all the men that appertain unto Korah and all their goods. They and all that appertain to them went down alive into the ground, or the word here is Sheol or Hades. And the earth closed up upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that was around them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. So here we see God used a earthquake to bring judgment on people. And in the book of Revelation, we see here again that God will use a earthquake to bring judgment upon people. So let's summarize this whole issue of natural disasters. Why are there natural disasters? There are natural disasters because the earth is laboring under a fallen creation, the sin. That creation is groaning. And so again, when you see these things happening, tsunamis, earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes, when you see these things, that's the earth groaning because of sin. And there are natural explanations for these things because the earth is groaning. So there are natural explanations, but it's still, even the natural explanation is a result of the earth groaning and laboring under sin. And we see that God also works through these things to bring judgment on people. So whenever there's a hurricane, earthquake, things of that nature, is that God judging? No, it's not. But God does use these things to bring judgment on the earth. And here in the book of Revelation, we see that this is the case, that there's a great earthquake that takes place. And, you know, we read a little bit later in Revelation 6 and verse 16, notice what this is called. It's called the wrath of the Lamb. The wrath of the Lamb, that the Lamb is pouring out his wrath upon the earth. So let's continue on in Revelation. So I wanted to do that to give us an understanding of natural disasters and how God does work through natural disasters sometimes. So again, I don't want anybody to leave saying, Pastor Glay said every time there's an earthquake or there's a hurricane that God is judging. Now, that's not what I said. I said that God does use these things in certain situations to bring divine judgment and to get people's attention. As we go on to read in Revelation, we see that the sun becomes black and the moon turns red. Now, you know, there has been over the years all kind of explanations. You know, people have written books on blood moons. People have written books on these things that take place when darkness appears upon the earth. And during this time of judgment, this will be one of the things that happens, is the sun becoming black and the moon turning red. So how are we to take that? You know, what does that mean? Well, basically the meaning is that the light of the sun will be blocked and the moon will become reddish in appearance. Now, the sun becomes dark whenever we have a solar eclipse. You know, that's, you know, just think about, supernatural darkness, right? Just think about when Jesus was dying on the cross. What happened? That the Bible says that darkness covered the face of the earth. So the sun can be darkened, you know, either by eclipse, or, you know, God can supernaturally bring darkness on the face of the earth. Now just think, you know, when we go back and reread the account of Jesus' crucifixion, you know, it says from 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock, that and that's right during the heart of the day, right, you know, from noon until 3 o'clock. But darkness covered the face of the earth for 3 hours. And you know, that's interesting. And this will be a phenomenon that takes place during the tribulation. So, you know, there will be times when darkness, you know, covers the face of the earth. Like, you know, remember, another example would be when the 10 plagues in Egypt, when darkness came. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I believe that this is talking about a death thickening darkness. You know, have you ever been like when there's no lights, or, you know, there's the moon is not up and you've just been out and it's just been dark? I mean, you know, it's almost like an eerie darkness. Well, you know, that's the kind of darkness that's going to take place with this sixth seal being opened. But also it says that the moon becomes red in appearance, right? And so, you know, when does the moon become red? You know, well, you know, when we see a lunar eclipse, you know, with the light that certain light being blocked out and certain light shining on the moon, it becomes reddish in appearance. So, you know, however these things happen, it's important to remember that during the opening of this sixth seal, that these things will change in their appearance. You know, and again, you know, these will be signs during this time of divine judgment, of God's divine judgment. We see also, it talks about stars falling to the earth. And, you know, now this is, I took this quote here from John MacArthur, and he says, obviously in this context, it does not refer to actual stars, since they are far too large. Because if you think about,
thank you for joining us today on In Kurt and Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of the sixth seal. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Sixth Seal, you can contact us at inkurtandjesus.org and request The Sixth Seal. That's inkurtandjesus.org and request The Sixth Seal from our Bible Prophecy Series. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series on Bible prophecy is made available by request. When you visit our website, view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.